So maybe you weren't quite brave enough last night to get out and see high school football. It's understandable. It was a yucky night across the Upper Cumberland. Had a member of our team ask yesterday, why do young guys, why do football players like playing in weather like we're going to have tonight? It's because it's being 6 years old again, right? And that's what the teams across the Upper Cumberland experienced last night. We'll break down all the action so you won't feel bad that you missed any of the games across the Upper Cumberland. Glad you're along. The high school playbook is built by Mountain Barn Builders. The Stone Memorial Panthers are arriving here at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. We'll talk about their victory coming up. Also, Monterey Scott Hughes, the big game of the night, Clay County and Monterey. We'll break down that one here in just a few minutes. Bruce Lamb's Livingston Wildcats, they stay undefeated. The details on that just ahead, plus Jimmy Maynard here to talk some Cookeville football. All that much more this hour. First things first, scoreboard from Friday night across the Upper Cumberland, and it was a war as Monterey gets the win over Clay County. The final score 9-6 in overtime. Alec Kerr with a touchdown run in the second quarter for the Bulldogs. Monterey answers in the fourth quarter with a touchdown pass to Carter Charlton. But Monterey not able to convert the extra point. 6-6, we go to overtime. In the overtime period, Clay County throws an interception on third and goal on their first overtime possession. The Wildcats work the ball down to the 5-yard line. They get a field goal attempt. It is good. And Monterey gets the win 9-6 last night. A little easier for the Wildcats of Livingston Academy. They are now 9-0 in the season, beating York Institute 41-6 last night. Bruce Lamb's Wildcats scored on their first six possessions of the game. Caleb Robinson, 12 carries, 70 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Nate Neely returned from a high ankle sprain, 9 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. By the way, that's the first win for the Livingston senior class against York. Stone Memorial beat Smith County 16-13 to win their second in a row. White County falls to Macon County 48-13. Nate Mullins, a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Cedric Lefwich was 4 of 12 for 36 yards. He also had 13 carries, 33 yards. Red Boiling Springs beats Pickett County last night by a 26-21 score. Pickett County jumped on that game early and had a chance to win at the end, but the defense couldn't hold up. Cumberland County falls to Bledsoe County, the final 44-6. Jacob Gringa, 8 carries, 165 yards, and the only touchdown of the night. Riverdale gets the win over Warren County, the final there, 42-0. And we bring in the head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, Jimmy Maynard, here at Chick-fil-A. The Cavaliers not a part of that because they played Thursday night. You stayed dry.
I did. I guess that's the old quarterback in me that don't like playing in the rain, so we decided early on Wednesday that we would just move our game and play on Thursday night. And it was a great night, great weather, just a perfect night for football.
I'm sure those are not easy decisions to make because you're messing up routines and all of that. But
I talked with Coach Rice. Coach Rice, great man and great coach at Rockvale. His son was involved in an automobile accident and is in pretty critical condition. And Coach Wright had been in the hospital staying with his son for like 23 straight days. And
oh my goodness.
From a personal standpoint, it was better for him to play on Thursday. So it worked out really good for both of us. And so we were able to move it. But it does, you just have to get on the phone and start contacting people and just change plans. But we did it early, so it wasn't as bad.
Big night for Stockton Owen.
He had a big night. Not many attempts either way. I think he ran the ball for maybe 6 times for 136 yards or whatever. And then passing game, we actually threw it 4 times. One of them got long touchdown pass, got called back. But he was 3 for 3 and a couple of touchdowns and over 100-something yards of passing. But it was a good night for Stockton.
What did you like overall, Coach, about your offense?
Well, about our offense, we were successful on every drive. I think we used the clock. We had big plays. We had one penalty, and that was the touchdown pass that we had that got called back. We had a lineman downfield, it was just a good night all the way around. I think everything we did was successful, and just a good night, offensively. When you score 55 points, obviously it's a good night.
And you're able defensively, they score first, but you really buckle down from that point.
We did. The first drive, they took it about 77 yards and eat up, had 15 plays, and that had me concerned a little bit. And then they had another drive right before the end of the first half. But, you know, from that point on, our defensive coaches did a good job of, you know, they did some things that we hadn't seen and created a few problems with their formations, and we got out-leveraged a few times. But, you know, our defensive coaches did a good job at halftime getting things adjusted. In the second half, we were able to shut them down the second half.
Did you continue the development that you've kind of seen week to week that you've been pleased about?
I have. I mean, you know, and I said this the other day, you know, it's hard when you start the season 0-3, especially in football. You know, there's no, you know, other sports you got guarantees of postseason play, and it's not really how you start but how you finish. But in football, it's not necessarily that way. And I'm most proud of our young men for, you know, we start 0-3, but they come to work every Monday. They have a positive attitude, and they have gotten better and better each week. We still got areas that we've got to get better in. But for the most part, I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, that those guys have hung together and worked together. And, you know, we've been able to win, what, 4 in a row now, I guess, 4 out of the last 5. And hopefully we're going into Blackman this week with an opportunity to help ourselves in the standings for the seeding in the playoffs. So, you know, you got to be proud of those guys for the effort they've given, and our coaches also for their, you know, working hard to try to make us better.
The other thing is, not only did they show the resiliency from the start, but emotional games against people right here in your backyard, you're hearing it, oh, what's wrong with the Cavaliers, to kind of tune out that noise that coaches talk about all the
time. Well, I what's wrong with us, I guess, is you know, we've been beaten by some very good football teams. I mean, if you look at the fact that, you know, we're going into the 10th game of the season, and the record, combined record of the four teams that we've lost to, they've lost four games amongst all of them, and all of them are ranked in the state and in their respective divisions. And so we've lost to really good football teams, and obviously we lost the first two to two teams. One of them's undefeated, one of them is 8-1 and both ranked, and we had an opportunity both times to win those games. We just, you know, things didn't go our way. You're correct. Our guys have hung together, and they blocked all that out, and, you know, and continue to work hard.
What does the scenario look like for you in terms of the postseason?
Well, right now, we're obviously secured at least a fourth spot, and with a win over Blackman, we could put ourselves in a number three spot, and right now the way it is Blackman would be, Oakland's obviously number one, Blackman number two, Riverdale three, and we're four right now. With a win, it could bump us up to number three, and would bump Riverdale to two and drop Blackman down to number four. But those are the four teams that are going to represent our region. And if you look at last night's scores and Thursday night's scores, I mean, obviously, that's the four best teams. I mean, Oakland 80-6, and Riverdale 42-0, and Blackman, whatever it was, 42-8, and then our game was 55-14. So, you know, it shows that those are obviously the four best teams.
80 points.
And, you know, that's difficult to do, because once you get 35, it's a running clock, and it's just unbelievable that. And they got so many players. I mean, the running backs, they've just got a stable full, and they're so talented. Even their number twos and threes are so talented. And, you know, sad part about it is their freshman team's undefeated, and so is their middle school team. So they got them coming.
They got the horses in the barn, don't they?
They got them.
Can you believe that it's almost to the end of the regular season?
It goes fast, Larry. It really does. And, you know, you look around and you just, it's over before you know it. And I know for our seniors, it was senior night for us, and we had 13 senior players and one senior manager. And I know for them, every year I tell our parents and I tell our players when I meet with our freshman class that, you know, this is going to go by very fast, and you do all you can do, because before you blink and it's over with. And I don't think they believe you until it is over with, and they say, gosh, it went fast.
What do you say about this class? I know there's more football to play, but here it is, senior.
Well, weekend. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. You know, resiliency. That group is very resilient. They have hung together with a tough start, and great young men. I mean, they're just, you know, there's 13 of them that have stayed with the program for the 4 years, and some of them don't even play that much, but. You know, they don't cause any problems, because sometimes when you get seniors and if they're not playing, they can be detriment to your team, but our guys have not done that. They don't complain. They're out there every day working, and that was a great thing about Thursday night's game. We were able to get all those seniors in and get them some significant playing time, and let them finish out their last home game and on our field at our stadium and get some playing time. But you know, beyond the football part of it, these are 14 outstanding young people that are going to do well, that are going to be good dads, going to be whatever they want to be in society, and they're just great kids to work with. That's one thing I can say. We have got great, great kids to work with, and it's a pleasure to be able to coach those young men.
Congratulations on the win, and congratulations on staying dry last night.
Thank you, Larry.
55-14, Cookeville gets the win over Rockvale Thursday night. Battle last night on the mountain. Clay County and Monterey playing for honors. One of the better games of the year, no doubt about that, as we bring aboard Scott Hughes, the high school playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. 9-6, the overtime score. Monterey beats Clay County. Coach, congratulations on the win.
Thank you very much. Means a lot to get another win. Hats off to Clay County, hats off to Coach Johnson and his staff. They got a tremendous, tremendous football team. Very talented from top to bottom, and you know, but it was one of those things that when you have two top 10 teams playing, you expect it to be a challenge and you expect it to be a fun night, and it turned out to be that way.
So the first question that the average fan asks, I'm sure, they get up, they see this score, and they think about what the weather was like last night. Was this a weather-affected 9-6 score? Was this a great defense 9-6 score? Was it something else, a combination? How would you put that?
I think it was kind of a combination. I don't know if the weather really affected a whole lot. You know, we had some opportunities that on offense that we squandered and left out there that they could have put, you know, more points on the board. But I think he had two great defenses too. And you know, Coach Dickerson at Clay County, you know, I mean, he was a great head coach. And anytime you have a guy that's so knowledgeable as he is as an assistant and as a head coach, you know, obviously he makes your defense a whole lot better. And we knew that they had a great defense. I mean, they were giving up, I think, less than 5 points a game coming into it. And so we knew points were going to be at a premium. And we were a little bit disappointed in what we done offensively. You know, as I said, we were knocking on the door, scoring a couple times and left it. But, you know, it's one of those things with the weather where, you know, there was, you know, I think 100 games across the state of Tennessee played last night. It wasn't like we were the only one. And it's one of those things, you know, just because other people move football games don't mean that we have to. You know, high school football is a Friday night sport. And, the weather change, you know, the weather forecast kind of changed late in the week. And, you know, it was one of those things for us, you know, football's played cold, wet, hot, you know, whatever the circumstances. And it was the same playing field for both teams. But it was a very competitive game. And, you know, it was one of those things we knew that, you know, 6, 7, 8 points could possibly win that game. And that's the way it turned out.
The circumstances behind your three trips inside the 10 and you're not able to get inside the end zone.
One of them was a turnover. You know, one of them we just kind of self-imploded a little bit and actually had wrong assignments. And then one of them we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot with some penalties. And so, you know, very disappointing when you're knocking on the door in such a huge game. You know, execution has to be at a premium, and we were the ones that didn't execute at all. And when I say at all, I mean, it you know, just in a lot of regards, we had misses and mental mistakes. And, you know, and we kept talking about that. I said, you know, as bad as we played, we still had opportunities, and that was a fortune for us, because normally when you play that bad, you know, the game spirals away from you. So, yeah, but it was one of those things. All three possessions, it was something different, which is kind of ironic.
Clay has the lead really all the way into the fourth quarter of this game. Did you see any, I don't want to call it panic, but angst among your football team, or we're just going to keep playing down after down, drive after drive?
No, I mean, our kids never panic. Very proud of their resiliency. You know, and I heard guys talking about, you know, just keep getting stops. We're going to find a way. Keep getting stops. We're going to find a way. And you know, our guys believe in that. Our guys believe that you know, until there's the final horn, that as long as there's time on the clock, that as long as it's within scoring possession, you know, we've got a shot. And you know, we were trying to take some deep balls, and it was one of those things. They brought pressure, and sometimes what we were doing, you know, they were getting to us and kind of limited what Jordan could do in the passing game. And Chandler Bowden comes up with a huge catch early that set us up inside the 10. So we knew we had some situations where we could try to get the ball out, and the scoring drive that we had, you know, our offensive line come together and our backs, you know, played really well and done what they were supposed to. And it was one of those things for a coach, though, when you never see panic as bad as it's going, you're really proud of your program and you're really proud of your culture.
No doubt about that. Talking Monterey, Clay County football, game of the weekend, maybe the game of the season thus far in the Upper Cumberland, won by the Wildcats last night, as we talked on the High School Playbook with head coach Scott Hughes. So, okay, 5 minutes to go, roughly, fourth quarter. You tie the game up, and you have the chance to take the lead. What happened on the extra point?
Well, it was a little bit of a high snap, and, you know, we're kind of blessed. You know, we're sitting there with Jordan Holden, and he does a good job of not panicking, and I thought he got in. It was a huge play right at the pylon. The pylon gets knocked over. My understanding of the rule is that, you know, if you touch the pylon, you score. And the pylon gets knocked over. Jordan goes in the end zone or you know, through the pylon. So, you know, I feel that scores, but, you know, I'm not an official, so I just got to deal with it. I just know there was a long process, no signal ever called. I never saw a signal. I just got told that he didn't get in. Unfortunate, one of those things that, you know, end of the day ended up not being a big deal. But at that point in time, when you're 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the game, it is a huge deal. And I thought the thing I was most proud of is the way that our kids handled it. They you know, refocused for the kickoff. They refocused for defense because they knew they had to go get a stop to give themselves another chance to win the football game.
Because you see situations like that from time to time at any level of football. You get so engrossed in the call or what you interpret to be the wrong call, you forget the other team's got the ball back and they're going to try to drive and score and it won't even matter.
Yes, very much, and that was my fear, was it would become a distraction and they would hang their hat on that. But very proud of how they conducted themselves in that situation, because it was a long process to finally get a call or get a determination. And, you know, they come back in, and Clay County's explosive. I mean, they broke the kickoff on us a little bit and set themselves up with some pretty good field position. And, you know, they got athletes across the board. And we had talked about it, how, you know, our special teams had to be huge, and especially our coverage units, and because they could do so many different things.
Neither team can get in scoring position, so the game goes to overtime, tied at 6 apiece. Overtime, something I'm sure you've thought through and worked on, even though you haven't been in that situation.
Very much. You know, we kind of have our plan together for 3 or 4 different scenarios of overtime. And you know, we kind of had our diagnosis of what we wanted to do. And you know, it was one of those things, you know, our defense comes out and gives us a stop. And, you know, anytime our defense can give us a stop in that situation, we feel pretty good, because, you know, we pretty good kicker. And, you know, that was definitely not the – I guess you could say plan one was to put it down on fourth down and have to kick it. But, you know, we come out and we have a bobbled snap, which puts us behind the chains. And then we mess up, you know, a run scheme. And one of those things, we really put ourselves behind the eight ball, especially starting from the 10-yard line, which was kind of our kryptonite last night. You know, anytime we got inside the 10, it was a house of horrors, it seemed like. But, you know, for us, we knew once we got it down on fourth down that, you know, having Renee and you know, having a senior holder, that we felt confident in what could take place. And for it to end the way that it did, with a senior that's meant so much to our program, to hit the game-winning field goal was pretty special.
And again, how important is it to have that weapon in your arsenal?
Well, the ball that come off last night at his foot was I don't know, it was probably good from 40 or 42 last night, is what a lot of people told me. I just knew if we could ever get the ball to the block that we had a shot. And he couldn't have asked for a better snap, couldn't have asked for a better hold. When it come off his foot, I think everybody on our sideline knew what the result was going to be, because it sounded like a cannon coming off his foot last night. It's muddy and it's wet, and you know, we're kicking into the wind on top of that too. but those, you know, when you got guys like Renee, you know that those moments are nothing to them. They're pressure guys, and he's no different in that situation.
No doubt, a happy locker room when it was all said and done.
It was, you know, pretty special. You know, one of our key linemen, it was his birthday. So, you know, you've got that going on. You've got senior night, and definitely a good night for those young men to persevere through so much. And as I said again, hats off to Clay County. Great football team, great coach football team, and they have a lot of success coming their way in the playoffs, I believe, because they are a very, very complete football team.
Congratulations, Coach, on a memorable victory, and certainly one that those seniors will think about for a long, long time.
It is, and we talked about it, you know, with our seniors, and we talked about it with our underclassmen about how, you know, it could be the last night that those seniors ever get to play on that field, and we wanted to make it memorable. Probably a little bit more nerve-wracking early on for their memories than what they want, but hopefully not that those guys will always cherish, and it'll be a part of their legacy as a Monterey Wildcat.
9-6 the final. Monterey wins over Clay County in overtime. Scott Hughes, head coach of the Monterey Wildcats. We're talking Panthers football. Stone Memorial joins us live at Chick-fil-A next. Spending your Saturday talking high school football, and we're only 1 week away from the postseason, if you can believe that. Welcome back to Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. Glad to have the Stone Memorial Panthers with us this day. Stone beats Smith County 16-13 last night in the rain and the muck and the wind and all of that. And Coach Derek Zamba, there's nothing that young people like more than that, right?
It's a fun night if you like football, Larry, to be able to get out there and just get messy and nasty and run around the mud.
What stood out to you about your offensive performance?
Well, Larry, the conditions kind of dictated. We're a spread team generally. And last night in the second half, we got in a double-tight wishbone and ran quarterback sneak and power up and down the field, and that was it. It's a package that we work every Thursday, and we've got two plays in for it, so...
Simple but effective?
Simple but effective. You know, it was almost a rugby scrum, you know, but our kids responded to that. They had fun. And I think a lot of times when you've got conditions like that, it comes down to who wants to be there more, who's enjoying those conditions and just going out there and being physical and having fun.
Yeah, it's just almost an enforce your will kind of thing. Don't get too fancy and don't create opportunities to make mistakes.
Absolutely. And we kind of took the air out of the ball and made one big play in a passing game out of that set, but otherwise it was power and quarterback sneak and have fun and be physical and execute.
What did you see from your defense?
Defense was tremendous last night. You know, gave up two scores in the first half, no scores in the second half. I think at one point in the second half, or we finished the game with seven straight three and outs. Seven straight three and outs. They kept getting us off the field. They had a couple different opportunities at the end of the game to go up and take the lead and maybe win the game, and our defense held.
That's got to make you happy to see that development in your defensive unit.
Well, you know, defense and offense all the way around, Larry, just so proud of our kids, and we faced adversity in a lot of different ways this year. Started the season 1-1, and we lost five straight, Larry, and then we had a 6 week with a bye week. So we went 6 weeks without winning a game, but our kids continue to work hard. I think it's a testament to our coaches that we've kept the standard where it has to be in order for our kids to get better. And last night we finally saw the results.
Is it easy as a coach to sometimes, when you're in the middle of something that, to let the standards falter a little bit?
That's an easy thing for everybody, Larry. You know, we live in such a product and results-based society. But football is such a preparation and process-based game. And so for these kids, this group of teenage boys, to continue to buy in, football practice is hard, Larry, you know. So asking our kids to go out and work as hard as we work them, and we push their bodies to the limits in practice and conditioning in the weight room, they continue to buy in even without seeing the results that we want. And that's uncommon in today's society. So just really proud for our kids.
Because we are so much about winning.
So much about winning. And, you know, not just winning, but whether it's Snapchat or Amazon or transfer portal or whatever, it's instant gratification. And if things aren't going your way, there's not as the kind of accountability there should be a lot of times. And so we've lost some kids over the course of the year that weren't with us last night in terms of, you know, they threw in the towel. But our kids that were with us last night didn't, and it was fun to celebrate with that bunch.
When you're a coach and you see the adversity happening and you see the faces and you see, you know, just that tenseness that happens in practice when you're not having success, what do you try to do to keep the standard, but at the same time, hey, we just got to keep doing over and over? Because the natural tendency is, well, there's something wrong with what we're doing here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, what do you do with that? It's a lot of different things, but it's something we preach from day one. One of our core values is faith and belief. So just continue to have belief in what we're doing is the right thing schematically, what we're doing is the right things in terms of our process and the way we practice. And I think our coaches do a really good job of coaching our kids hard but loving them hard too. And I think that certainly helps. We've got really positive relationships with every kid on the roster. And I really think that you can push a kid's limits when they know how much you care about them.
Derek Sambers with us, head coach at Stone Memorial. The Panthers get the win over Smith 16-13 last night. Second straight win. For you, in the process of building the program, not just the team, how important is it to get these wins late in the season, get young people involved, get your young guys on film to build for next year? I know you want to win every game. But
absolutely, Larry, and we're a young team in general. I don't know that I've got a senior here with me today. So we're leaning on young kids all the way around, but it's not an either-or kind of deal, Larry. When you keep the standard the same, it produces results for this year, but also prepares those young guys for the future. And, you know, again, I just want to brag on our kids and coaches for the way that they continue to go through the process, continue to prepare without having the results at all times. And so for them to be able to do that, I think bodes well for the rest of this season and certainly in our building of the program.
You have to build the program, don't you? I mean, you have you focus on this year, but you're also looking ahead a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road.
That was one of the things for me when I took the job, Larry, is Stone had back-to-back undefeated seasons, but as a whole, I think the school has averaged 3.5 wins a year or something to that effect, and I didn't want to build one good team and us be done. I wanted to build a program that was consistently built on the right things, consistently built on the kind of characteristics and processes that win football games year in, year out. And so, yeah, we're hoping to build something that's successful as much as it possibly can be every year.
How important to that building is your middle school program, for example? How big is youth football in Cumberland County and Crossville?
It's huge, Larry. And our junior Panthers do a tremendous job. They've won a bunch of championships this year. Those little guys have really played well, and they're fun to watch. And then our middle school program, we share our coaching staff on the middle school program with our high school program. So there is very much interconnectivity there, and hopefully it's a seamless transition when they get to us in high school.
So do you try to use, like, similar technology, similar schemes, that sort of thing?
All the way down, you know. And we actually, our high school coaching staff hosted a little clinic or learning day, whatever you want to call it, for our junior Panthers as well. So, you know, we're an open book to them because we want kids to have a positive football experience. And I think certainly winning's a big part of that. But we've got great coaches at our junior Panther levels, middle school levels, all the way through, and we're really trying to cultivate that.
One more question about that before we bring in the Panthers that you brought along. How much improved do you believe the teaching is of football today, say, if 25, 30 years ago, with the emphasis on safety and doing things fundamentally the right way?
I think it's big. I think the big thing is intentionality with safety, player safety. And then as a high school coach, that it's a big part of my day job. Obviously, I'm in the classroom as well, but it's a big part of my day job to take these volunteers that coach the young guys and sell insurance or whatever during the day, to be intentional about teaching them everything that we possibly can to make sure that the young guys are safe and that they've got good technique as they grow up in football.
Who'd you bring along to Chick-fil-A today?
We got Grant Finley, Gavin Scarborough, Daniel Rodriguez, and Gary Burkhammer.
So, Grant, let me start with you.
Yes, sir.
How'd it feel to pick up another win last night?
I mean, it felt good. It was like losing five games in a row. It's rough, but you just got to stay bought in. And getting that win finally felt good. Just all the hard work paying off.
Do you feel like that, that, you know, all that the sweat and equity of September and August, now it's paying off?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we grinded out in the weight room. Coach Dryden, he really pushed us to our limits, and it's starting to pay off, especially for next year and the years after that.
How important is the weight room during the season?
The weight room is everything. We would be blown out by 50 every game if it went for the weight room. So that's everything.
Gavin, how miserable was it last night?
It wasn't really miserable at all. It was fun to get dirty and nasty, honestly.
How'd it feel when you got home?
It felt good after getting that win last night.
Yeah, I bet so. So nobody's saying, I got to wash this or anything like that. You took care of it. For you, where have you tried to develop during the course of this season?
I play D-line, and I've just tried to get better not just for myself, but for my teammates, so we can just get better throughout the season.
Daniel, what's been the biggest thing that you have tried to work on from August until now? Anything in particular? Anything in your skill set that you've tried to work on?
I think just try to improve more on keeping outside contained, keeping everybody inside the box.
What's the key to that for the average fan that didn't play football?
Well, I mean, weight room plays a big factor in it too. Like, we got stronger, so we have an easier chance of getting outside, holding everybody where we need them.
Defense is as much about playing in your position and doing your job, right, as it is chasing the ball.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody needs to do what they need to do, and then it'll all work out.
And this is Gary.
Yeah.
So, defensively, what do you feel like is the hallmark of Panthers football, if you had to say one thing? What do you think is most important?
What's important to us is the weight room and how physical we are compared to every other team.
Was that new to you? Was that something, being in the weight room, that you had to get used to?
Or? Yeah, I definitely had to get used to it, being pushed every day. You just keep getting pushed harder and harder every day, so you just got to get better.
Can you believe that this season is almost over?
Well, I mean, no, not really. It's kind of blew by, but we're getting there.
Grant, for you, just when you look at how the season has gone, and from a record standpoint, it hasn't gone the way you wanted, but what lessons do you think this team has learned?
We face a lot of adversity, so you just got to learn to play through it. I mean, life doesn't slow down. It doesn't stop, so you just got to learn to play through it.
Gavin, what will you take away from this year? With this group of guys?
Honestly, I wouldn't take anything away from this year. I love our seniors that we got, and I've loved playing with them ever since my freshman year. It's just, I wouldn't take anything back because I love my teammates, and I couldn't do it without them.
Daniel, does it make you hungry to get back and get started for 2020?
Yeah, definitely getting, I feel like we can get better. We can improve a lot more. We can get stronger. We can get more conditioned than we are.
So, Gary, is the message, look out for the Panthers next year?
Oh, for sure. We're coming.
You know, Coach, it's interesting because they all talked about the weight room, so they obviously understand the importance of that, which, again, that's one of those things that's changed about football in the last 25 years.
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. And we continue to lift even in the season. We get two lifts in on Monday and one on Thursday. We condition our kids throughout the season. That's a part of the practice. And they know in order to accomplish things that other people can't, we got to do things in that process that other people don't. So it's something we're always going to emphasize. You talked about building a program, and that's certainly one of the foundational pieces is the weight room.
Outworking people's
100%,
good way to work.
100%. It pays off.
Yep. Hey, great to have the Panthers with us at Chick-fil-A today, led by head coach Derek Samber, Gavin Scarborough, Daniel Rodriguez, Grant Finley, Gary Burkhammer, Bryant Carter. He's over there. With us at Chick-fil-A today. Thank you guys for being here, and congratulations on the win last night.
Thanks a lot, Larry. Go Panthers.
The UC Sports Nation scoreboard from last night. Red Boiling Springs beats Pickett County 26-21. Macon County 48, White County 13. Monterey beats Clay County 9-6 in overtime. Bledsoe County 44, Cumberland County 6. Livingston defeats York 41-6. It was Stone Memorial over Smith County 16-13. Thursday night, Cookeville wins, so does Upperman, escaping against Watertown. Glad you're along on the High School Playbook. We're built by Mountain Barn Builders as we head to Livingston. Wildcats keep it rolling last night with a big win as they take out York Institute 41-6. Bruce Lamb, happy with the way your football team came back from a bye last night?
Very much so. They came out ready to play. I mean, started from the opening kickoff, and our kids came out excited and full of energy and had a really good game. I was very excited about the way they played.
How much of a factor, if at all, was the weather?
It was quite a bit. We ran the ball quite a bit. I think we only threw 8 passes all night. But that's something we need to work on our running game in the first place. But I think we could have thrown it a little bit more, but it did. It was hard to hang up the ball last night. It never stopped. It just got harder as the night went on. So it was pretty tough.
I know coaches have for years done the whole wet ball drill and, you know, soaked ball in a bucket and those kinds of things. Can you prepare for one of those kinds of nights, or is it just different?
Yeah, it's just a different thing. I think you can try to prepare. I mean, we went out this past Monday and we went practice for 2 hours out in the rain and just thinking, well, you know, maybe we'll have one of those nights that's going to rain and not stop. And, well, you know, it did this Friday. So, you know, I think it helped a little bit, maybe a little bit, because, you know, you're not used to that kind of stuff coming up. Just like I'm staffing for the punter, you know, that's one thing we worked on a lot this past Monday in the rain, because, you know, that's a 13-yard snap. You got to have it perfect, and if, you know, your punter's got to catch it and he's got to kick it. You try to work on stuff like that, and hopefully it pays off.
And that ball's heavier when it's soaked in water.
A lot heavier. It does, you know, and the longer the night goes on, the heavier it gets. So it makes it very much difficult.
Caleb Robinson just continuing what he's done really for you the last several weeks, just playing very well, it looks like.
He's playing exceptional right now. And, you know, he was our backup, and Nate Neely went down with a ankle injury, and we inserted Caleb, and he's just he's playing incredible. And, you know, and then last night we get Nate Neely back, and so we got a 1-2 punch now with both of those guys running the ball. I think one of them had 67 yards, and one of them had 61 yards, so. No, that's nice to have that 1-2 punch.
Especially as you get to this point in the season.
Absolutely. When you can add some more weapons to your offense, it's around playoff time, it's big.
And just being able to wear people down, too, as
absolutely
defenses get tired. Speaking of defense, Bruce Lamb, what did you like about what your Wildcats did?
Wow, defensively has been played great all year. Coach Matt Hauser's done a great job with them, and they came out last night from the first snap of the game. I think the first snap was a 5-yard loss, and that's the way they played the entire night. If my stats were right, I think York only had 20 yards offense through 3 quarters, and they're just playing exceptional. Cole Spears, defensive lineman, offensive lineman for us, last night played probably his best ball game he's played in 2 years. He played exceptional last night.
In fact, York doesn't get into the end zone until just, final 2 minutes of the game.
Yes, sir, final 2 minutes. And that's a credit to our defense. They did a great job, and, you know, they were making a lot of things. I think we had 5 turnovers. They did a great job of stopping them and not letting them get started.
Coaches, they kind of get that, well, let's put it this way. The media puts the play that, oh, you know, the coach is going to be unhappy about giving up the shutout in that particular situation. Do coaches worry about
those kinds of things? Do you think about that in those kinds of situations?
Well, I think years ago I probably did, but now it's the point where, hey, a win's a win. Doesn't matter if it's 3-0 or what, it's, or, you know, 6-7-6. It's just about winning the ball games. And, you know, the reason I coach, and I'm sure other coaches do, is on Friday nights when you walk in that locker room and you see the smiles on those guys' faces, it doesn't matter what the score is, as long as you're on top and you want to see those guys excited about what they just did.
I bet a lot of smiles, a lot of muddy faces last night.
It was a great excitement. I mean, we hadn't played well against York the last 3 years, and it, this senior class, it was their first win against York in the last 3 years. So, yeah, it was not, to go up there and play the way we did and do the things we did, it was great. It was a great night for those guys.
So what's your message going into the final week of the regular season?
Just continue doing what we're doing. It's one game at a time, and just keep playing for each other. These guys, I've never had a group, I don't think, as close as this bunch is right now. And they love playing for each other, and you can see that every time they go out on the field, and just continue doing that.
41-6, the final. Livingston beats York Institute to improve to 9-0 on the campaign. Head coach Bruce Lamb, we appreciate your visit, as always.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you very much.
Pickett County coach Ray Reagan, as the high school playbook continues. We're presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Pickett County falls to Red Boiling Springs 26-21. And, coach, what was a very hard-fought game?
It was a battle from the kickoff on. It was wet, nasty. We jumped on them, and I told them, I said, you know, you keep your foot on the gas, don't let up. They would let them right back in, and, they, you know, I'll give credit to Red Bull, and they fought hard all night. We did as well. We just, we just couldn't play defense. The same problem I've had all year, My front four up there, they just get pushed back. Don't have enough size up there, enough strength, and, you know, they're not coming off the ball and, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, and it just snowballs from there.
What did you do in that first quarter to get out in front?
We had time to throw it just a little bit, and they literally didn't have anybody that could cover Mark Smith. He's tall, fast, and, you know, and I give a lot of credit to my quarterback. He can throw it. He can throw it all over the field. We give him time, they're a problem, but, you know, it comes back to the same thing. You know, my big guys, just, you know, they're young and they're just not big enough yet, and it just kind of snowballs. But offensively, we moved the ball pretty well. We could move it in there even though it was raining. Defensively, that's what hurt us.
What's the key to being able to throw the ball effectively, even when you have rain?
I had ball boys standing on the sideline, keeping it dried off as much as possible. And, you know, my quarterback's got big hands. He can grip the ball. We practiced quite a bit when it did rain. I don't let him have days off when it rains. So, you know, there's nothing that he's not done before. Wide receiver, he's got big hands, and he's got excellent hands. He can catch anything you throw at him. So just work at it.
What kind of football player / human being is Mark? I mean, this is a guy that just seems to do what you need to have happen. I know it's not been the success that he's wanted, but he plays just week in, week out, it seems.
Well, Mark's a good kid. I've had him since he was 6 years old. I've known him his whole life. He's do anything in the world I ask him to do, you know, whether he's getting the ball or he's not. If he's on the outside and he's not getting the ball, he's still playing every play, and he's blocking for everybody else. And when his number's called, he's always where he's supposed to be. He's I can't speak highly enough for Mark. He's good.
Ray Reagan, head coach of Pickett County. as the Bobcats fall to Red Boiling Springs by a 26-21 final. White County has a difficult time with Macon County Friday night, 48-13. Mark Frazier, head coach of the Warriors. What disappointed you most, Coach, about your performance?
Well, I believe just the intensity of the game is what I was disappointed in most. That's one thing that we've done every game is came out and played. You know, we may not be the most talented every game, but we played as hard as we could play. And I felt last night was the first time we didn't do that. Got behind a little bit, and then we didn't answer the challenge. So just a little bit disappointed in the fact that we didn't play our best game, not to take anything away from Macon. They beat us in every aspect of the game last night, but, you know, I just didn't feel like we played hard, and just a little disappointed in our team and myself and, you know, not getting ready to do that.
Was there any sign of that in practice this week or anything like that?
No, not really. I really felt we were prepared, which is something that we talked about after the game, that coaching staff, we've got to figure out what went wrong. You know, there were a lot of outside factors last night with the rain and no crowd and this and that and other, but you know what? Those are the same factors were there for Macon County as well, and they overcame them and played great. And so we've got to figure out what went wrong this week and come back for our week 10 and try to right the ship.
What is the biggest challenge for a defense facing the wing T in Macon County? They do it well.
Yeah, they're really good at formationing people. They get guys in wrong positions, you know, where they're shifting and movement. But overall, going back and looking at it last night, we ended up lining up correctly most of the time, and we're in the right spot. So, you know, as far as playing the wing T, you got to be disciplined and say, you know, everybody has a job, and you got to do your job. Unfortunately, you know, none of us were doing our job last night. So, you know, we went back and watched, and we had a lot of times where we were there physically and missed tackles, and so it just was a bad night.
Offensively, you just weren't really able to ever get anything going.
No, and that's another thing. You know, our offensive line is messed up now. Not that we've ran up and down the field on teams, but, you know, normally throughout the game as we get near the end that we've began to run the ball a little bit better as the game's gone along, and it just didn't materialize last night. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, you can't throw it in the rain. Well, we don't throw it much when it's dry. So it wasn't like that we were doing something different than what we normally did. I mean, give Macon County credit. They came out and just smashed us in the mouth and our kids didn't respond on either side.
You know, Mark Frazier is head coach of the White County Warriors as they prepare for the final game of the regular season. Can you believe that? Good pasture up next for the Warriors, falling last night to Macon County 48-13. It is November 1st. Wow, it's gone fast. Clay County Red Boiling Springs will match up in the final game of the regular season. Cookeville is on the road to Blackman next Friday night. Cumberland County takes on DeKalb County. Jackson County will be at Trousdale County. Livingston hits the road for Macon County. Gordonsville and Monterey will face off at Gordonsville. Pickett County takes on Joe Burns. Smith County and Grundy County match up. Stone Memorial takes on Friendship Christian. Upperman is at Sequatchie County. Warren County goes to Oakland, White County in Good Pasture, as we mentioned, and York will wrap up their season at Cannon County. We'll wrap up everything that has gone on in the final week of the regular season next Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, right here, Chick-fil-A, Interstate Drive.